Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Rob Legend Show on blogtalkradio.com. Log on or call in at 773-897-3989 to speak on the hottest topic.
It's going down, baby!
So log on, tune in, and turn up. Let's go! The Rob Legend Show is on your radio. People, it's here. The long-awaited, highly anticipated novel, Money, Sex, and Babies, is a hot, sensational new novel by author Robert A. Ford. A billionaire black man turns the world of business, sex, and the meaning of family upside down. Reviewer writes, 50 Shades of Grey has nothing on money, sex, and babies. Order your copy today on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com. Money, Sex, and Babies is the next bestseller. Get your copy today.
Hello, this is the Rob Legend Show. Hello. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yes, now we can.
Okay. I apologize. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. It seems that each time I try to do my show, can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Sure, I want to make sure it's not me.
Can hear you loud and clear now. Can keep talking. Hello?
Okay, I don't know what's going on, but I'm getting a bunch of noise.
Yeah,
Welcome to the Rob Legend Show. How are you doing, Chantal?
I'm good, thank you. How about you?
I am doing good. I was sitting here reading some of the rules that was rolled back by your president. And, you know, even some of these rules I didn't realize.
It was busy. It's been busy.
He reversed the interpretation of the Civil Rights Act that provided protection for transgender workers.
Well, you know, this whole time while we're being distracted, that's what he's been doing. He's been distracting us with all the craziness, and then he's been in the back end getting things in. So I think it's a ploy. All this craziness is a ploy to get people distracted, not to focus on what's really going on.
Right, just really get people turned off.
Yeah, I mean, while people are just worrying about what he's saying about his, you know, Cohen and all this other mess, he's taking the country back 200 years.
Really moving it back. Look at this one. He ended a rule that barred employers from taking some or all of the tips given to service workers.
Wow. I didn't even know about that.
That's what I'm saying. The boss can take your tips. Do cancel a rule mandating that financial advisors act in the best interest of their clients. He canceled that rule. They don't have to do anything.
What?
Nope.
So financial advisors can actually, wow.
They can do things in their own interest. He ended the rule.
Advise you to invest in things that are gonna charge you fees, and then they get kickbacks.
In other words, they can blow all your money and have no repercussions.
Yep, I'm just floored about the fact about bosses can take your tips, especially in that industry where they don't even pay those people minimum wage. They live on
exactly.
Tips. So if your boss can take your tips, I used to be a waitress. Your boss can take your tip. What the heck are you going to be living on?
That's true. Also, he ended a rule that allowed consumers to file class actions lawsuits against financial companies. They can do whatever they want to do.
Whoa.
They also limit on the ability for states to drug test those who seek unemployment. So they can deny you unemployment because you use drugs.
even though you already paid for your unemployment through your taxes.
Exactly.
Even though that's already been paid for, you didn't want to take that away because you use drugs. I mean, you work for it.
And that's just a few. The list is large. He reversed the policy, allowing states to develop their own work requirement for welfare recipients. He revoked the executive order that mandated compliance by contractors with law protecting women in the workplace. So you as a contractor, you're not protected anymore.
Okay, we say that one to me again, because, you know.
He revoked an executive order that mandated compliance by contractors with protecting women in the workplace.
Wow.
It said before 2014 order, a report found that companies with federal contracts worth millions of dollars had scores of violations of labor and civil rights. They was getting over and mistreating women in the process. Especially,
it doesn't matter, especially the contractors.
And he also repealed a law that prevents states from creating retirement saving plans for the private sector workers. He don't want you to save any money. You got to spend it all.
Wow.
That's your president. And this is not all of them. The list is huge.
But I was about to say a lot of these people don't, all these people, which are the blue collar people, don't even know that. I don't even think they care to know, because they're mostly affected by this stuff.
They also blocked a rule that made it easier for farmers to sue big agriculture companies. They can't even sue them.
They can't sue which companies?
Farmers can't sue large manufacturers, agriculture company.
Oh, so
they
can't sue the Monsantos. No. You know, the little farmers can't sue the Monsantos that are trying to take over.
They can't. He repealed a bill that mandated employers maintain records of workplace injuries. So if you don't have a record, okay, you don't have to keep a record anymore.
You cannot be held accountable, so nobody can come back at you.
Exactly.
This sounds like a lot. I was about to say nonsense, but this is reality.
This is what's happening. Wow. I'm just looking online, and I'm just looking at all these rollbacks. I would have thought, with the subject I have tonight, that I would have had many of my minister friends, including my brother, on. It's amazing that none have showed up.
Well, that's all I can say about that. Where's Bishop Kelly?
He didn't show up either.
It's 7:30. Maybe they're running late. happening. We can have the show. We having the show right now.
I'm, you know, that don't stop nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. But it seems to be like a nightmare, and people, everybody sleeping through it with 45 driving the wheel. It seems like we're going straight, driving straight over the cliff, and everybody in the bus is sleeping.
It's not good. It's not a pretty sight. Things on the horizon does not look good. I think our president will effectively create such a pool of stink that it's going to take whoever come in after him a long time, if that person can, clean up the mess. It is so messy now that, I mean, so much been rolled back, so much been undone, that it's going to take a long time to fix a lot of these problems. I mean, he reversed the ban on drilling. Everybody know about that. He reversed the ban on drilling oil in the Arctic. I mean, why in the hell would you be up in the Arctic in the polar ice cap where they already saying it's melting away? Why are you up there drilling?
Money. It's all about the money. That's all that matters. I mean, I don't even see any logic in this anymore. I mean, I never seen any logic, but it's getting more and more and more and more ridiculous. I mean, I really think the man is mentally ill.
No, he's not mentally ill. If you think about this right here, he rolled back this one that allows them to do fracking on public land. This is our land. This is the land of the people, but he allowing these companies come in and do fracking, and we don't get any proceeds from it. We don't get any benefits from it because the companies turn around and sell us to what they get.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of EPA things he's rolled back is just absolutely crazy. I mean, he rejected proposals to ban a pesticide that was making farm workers sick. That should have been an easy one. He reversed the ban on plastic bottles in national parks. He repealed a ban on lead bullets.
Okay, well, tell me what's the logic in that. I mean, if the man is not crazy, and he has a young son. Well, that doesn't make sense.
He also, I mean, you would think this is no big deal, but he also rescinded a limit on the number of sea animals that can be trapped or killed in fishing nets. All of this is going to destroy the ecosystem.
No kidding. It's already been destroyed.
And
now,
he's weakened the emission standards.
Yep.
And he ended a rule banning dumping waste from mining companies into streams. So you could, as a mining company, you could dump your poison right into water, fresh water.
Ouch.
He reversed a ban on hunting bears and wolves. They free. They can go. They can be hunted now.
Mm-mm.
And I haven't even gone through all the list, all the stuff he's done. He repealed a 72 document defining the right of students with disabilities. He rolled back school lunch standards that, you know, was put in place by Michelle Obama.
Yeah. Michelle Obama, yeah.
He withdrew federal protection for transgender students in schools. They're not protected anymore. He canceled a partnership with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau aimed at policing students' loan frauds. So you can just defraud students without a problem. He reversed the rule that mandated how achievements is measured in schools.
Okay, I think he can stop now. It's really depressing.
He reversed the rule that would ban gun sales to those deemed mentally defective, but he wanted to ban guns being carried by the Army Corps engineer. He don't want them to carry guns.
Okay. Isn't that backwards?
That is crazy.
That's backwards. The people that are trained to have guns, don't let them. But then the people that are not right in the head, let them go ahead and shoot up people.
That appeared to be the logic. He also revoked Obama rule barring those who serve as registered lobbyists the prior year from taking jobs with the administration. If you was a lobbyist with the administration, if you was a lobbyist, you can't take a job with the administration. But as you know, Trump is surrounded by lobbyists that are on his team now. And airlines no longer have to disclose their baggage fees. And here's the one that I hate. He reversed the policy aimed to reduce mortgage insurance premiums for new FHA loans. That's the one that hurt me directly. Caused my mortgage to shoot up additional $400. He limited the Obamacare mandate that birth controls can be covered in the health care plans. That can't be done no more. I mean, the list is absolutely crazy. It's a huge list of things he's undone since he's been there. Wow, he's gotten everybody talking about how crazy he is and everything. He's steady with that ink pen, undoing things that was actually helping people.
Yeah, but why?
Probably because some of those bills, some of those things inhibited some of his wealthy buddies from these regulations that prevented them from poisoning and killing people. So now you can do what you want to do to people. It doesn't matter. Get as much profit from people as possible. A lot of these regulations, they blocked these companies from doing humans any way they wanted to.
Yep, correct.
That's why it's all about money.
It's about greed.
Yeah. It's all about that money, man.
Yeah, but go ahead and vote this for. Yep.
It's interesting.
Wow. I heard him say at he was giving a speech on Monday, and he was saying no president has done as much as he has done in 2 years. You got that right. No president has done this much damage. That's correct. He was bragging once again and saying that, yeah, I've done the most. Hello?
But, yeah, you're right. What do you do, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm really surprised that None of our preacher folks came on tonight. That was surprising because I'm really wanting to. The questions I have and everything are very serious questions. I mean, I want to know. You know, what does Jesus have to say about the new generation? You know, how's the new generation? How are they reaching the new generation of people? I mean, I'm just curious because people seem to be not that engaged in this anymore. So I wanted to have this discussion with our minister friend. Even my brother didn't even log in.
The new generation is asking way more questions, and they're asking, they're not going for the belief without seeing. They want to understand. They want facts, and they're not as obedient as we were. There's a lot of things that are pushing these young kids away from the church.
And that's I legitimately want to have that conversation with our minister base, our leaders, our religious leaders, and everything. Because I'm seeing, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that sees that things are interesting. Things are very interesting right now. So you know, I'm curious to hear what people have to say. I mean, maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe they got a word that they can bring to the folks that you know. Maybe they know something. I don't know.
Well, they're not there to tell us.
Well, don't go anywhere. I'm going to play a little. I'll go to a little musical break, and I'll be right back. Okay? Don't leave me.
In the mirror, I see the woman down and out. She's in They say money don't grow on trees, but the Next Level team can get you all the money you need to build your church, buy that apartment complex, own your own shopping plaza. Call the Next Level team today at 770-282-7047 for all your commercial needs. Go online today at nextlevelteam.com. The Next Level team is shaking that money tree for you.
People, it's here. The long-awaited, highly anticipated novel, Money, Sex, and Babies, is a hot, sensational new novel by author Robert A. Ford. A billionaire black man turns the world of business, sex, and the meaning of family upside down.
Reviewer writes, 50 Shades of Grey has nothing on money, sex, and babies.
Order your copy today on Amazon.com and BarnesandNobles.com. Money, Sex, and Babies is the next bestseller. Get your copy today.
You can fire that job today. Are you retired or retiring? Well, make sure your golden years are indeed golden. Can you use a few extra $1,000 per month? Well, we have a solution for you. Go online today at www.loveitone.com. That's L-O-V-I-T, the number one.com. Or call 307-316-1472. You can make thousands of extra dollars in 60 to 90 days by going online today. We are Financial Freedom Alliance.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Rob Legend Show. I'm glad you guys are joining me tonight. We've been experiencing some technical difficulties, and it seemed to happen when I bring up the subject of your lovely president. I seriously think, and I hate to be the one that spur conspiracy theories, but it's kind of interesting that when I want to talk about what's going on with our government, my show tend to be interfered with. I can hear you guys loud and clear, but you guys cannot hear me, and that is a problem. So it causes me to have to come in and do my show differently because I refuse to allow anybody to shut me down, all right? So if you just now dialed into the Rob Legend Show, we're talking about all the things that's being taken away from you by your president that you may not be aware of. And if you want to, the Washington Post, I'm going to actually put it on Facebook. The Washington Post has a laundry list of things. I'm going to put it on Facebook, a laundry list of things that your current president has taken away from you that you don't know that it's been taken away from you. And you probably won't feel the pain and the pressure until sometime farther down the road, or, you know, like I did and everything. I immediately started experiencing some pains from these telemarketers that can just call you anytime they want to. I'm experiencing pain from the fact that they've changed the mortgage insurance and stuff where they can just charge you any kind of whatever they want to charge you, they can charge now. I mean, I just put this thing on Facebook. I put the link out there so you guys go to that website and take a look at the laundry list of things that your president has rolled back that you may not even be aware of. And it's pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. And it's out there for you to read for yourself. I mean, some of the things I didn't know about myself, but now that I see them in writing, exactly what's been rolled back, I can understand why things are happening the way they're happening. You know, things are going on. I mean, got some echo in the line from somebody's call line, but, you know, I mean, you hear about them talking about the big stuff like the, you know, regulation on fracking on public lands, but they're not talking about the stuff that would impact you and I, you know, a little bit, you know, in our pockets, and that's closer to where we are. They're not talking about those things as much, but these things was actually done. I mean, just that simple. I mean, Obama wanted to phase out the use of private prisons. Dude, cancel that. Cancel that. So private prisons are back on, you know, doing what they do. Just some of the things that are going on that you guys can be aware of. While your president got you, everybody distracted, talking about how stupid he is and blah, 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 all these things, whatever, this guy is absolutely robbing you of so many bills, so many rules that was put in place to protect you that it's ridiculous. I mean, when you go to this website, man, and just start reading this from the Washington Post of the things that's been taken from you that you don't even know of, it'll blow your mind. I'm looking at this stuff, man, it's absolutely ridiculous. The list is large. But like I said, if you guys are just not tuning into the Rob Legend Show, I'm definitely welcoming you to take a seat at the virtual roundtable and really get into this conversation. I know I talk about Trump quite a bit, but I talk about it to a point where, and I want you guys to be aware that you don't want to get caught up in his, his antics and start really looking at the things that he's actually doing with his ink pen. Forget about what he says coming out of his mouth. It's what he does with that ink pen, that box of ink pens he has to sign something with. Look at that hand, because that's what's getting you. We spend so much time looking at the things he typed on Twitter that we're not paying attention to the things he's undoing with his ink pen and the people he put in power that can affect your everyday life. We're not paying attention to that stuff. So how you guys feeling tonight? Chantal, what's going on? What's happening on your side of town?
Nothing. Nothing much, but the usual hustle and bustle.
I know you're proud of your president, but I just had to tell you about him, just in case you weren't paying attention.
Proud? I don't think so. That's not the word I would use. I avoid talking to my friends abroad because they make so much fun of him.
Yeah.
So I will not take ownership of this president.
I'm wondering, is my favorite sister-in-law online tonight? Where is Christine? Is she on tonight, or she's hanging out in the corner? She's probably unpacking like she should be doing anyway. She moved into a big, beautiful mansion in the country. She and my brother. So they probably not on tonight. But I was going to ask her what she thought about her favorite president. But anyway, moving on. Now, I'm a little bit remiss, man. I'm a little put out because I thought tonight, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know what I'm saying, because I wanted to talk about, you know, I wanted to talk about this generation, where we are today, 2018, about to roll into 2019. I wanted to talk about, you know, where we are, man. Where is this generation in the pursuit of the lessons, or in pursuit of the ideals that just written in the Bible about Jesus? I'm starting to wonder, because when I was growing up, man, I used to hear this, listen to this song that said, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I'm starting to wonder, is Jesus still the answer? Does anybody know? I mean, any young people y'all hear about talking about Jesus is the answer?
Well,
yeah, I see. I got a text message from a pastor that he said you got a Bible study going on tonight, but he stepped out to speak on this subject. So is Jesus the answer? Deidre, is Jesus the answer? Somebody talk to me. Is he the answer for this new generation? I don't know anymore. And I'm not saying that to be negative or to put down anybody's belief or faith system. I'm just asking the question because I'm curious, because people not saying Jesus is the answer anymore. And parents are no longer teaching their children about Jesus anymore. So what is this? What's going on?
And that's one of the things, this generation is not about going to church to learn about Jesus, and there's not a lot of people who are going out to get the young people to go to the church to learn about him.
And why is that?
Age gap in generation, because back in my day, my grandmother made us go to church. These grandmothers are not making their kids go to church or taking their kids to church.
What has happened? Because, you know, in my father's house, I didn't have a choice. Like you said, I didn't have a choice. I actually was bold enough to say to my father one time when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I don't want to go to church. He said, you're going, he said, you don't have a choice. You're going to church in this house.
This generation has choices.
They have choices. Now, that begs a different kind of deal.
Well,
you know what I mean? So go ahead.
I was going to say one of the other things, okay, is too, okay, I think the generation nowadays, man, I mean, they got to see instant proof, okay, that, you know, they ain't going to take this long term, you know, trust me, you know. They got to see results now.
Microwave. We live in a microwave world. Got to pop it in the microwave. You don't have time to cook a meal.
Exactly.
We don't have time for Jesus or God or whatever the faith we're supposed to believe in to reveal to us those things that was promised. It got to happen now.
Right. It's got to be now, you know. And if it ain't going to be now, then I have to go out and make it happen myself.
Then it must not be real.
Yeah, well, to them.
To them.
It's all a part of the teacher's upbringing, I guess. And, you know, I don't know. You always go back to their home, you know, what they're taught at home.
When did the breakdown begin?
It's going to stick with you, okay? Just like you just finished saying, okay, Dad said, you're going to church. And I remember him saying that, you're going to church. You might not enjoy it, but you're going to be satisfied. You're there.
And you had to behave when you was in church. You had to do what you were supposed told to do when you was in church.
Absolutely, okay? And you had to stay awake, too. And I used to fall asleep all the
time. Had to stay awake.
Yep.
But I ain't gonna lie. That pastor and all that singing used to put me to sleep too.
A lot of people, okay, you know, nowadays saying, you know, I'm not gonna make my child do that. I'm gonna give them a choice, okay? If they can choose, you know. Well, they're not really equipped to choose. You know what I mean?
You know, I think
know enough.
So we can assume then that parents are playing a role in destroying a possible relationship with children and God, because you think in terms of how people look at faith now, look at religion now, it's almost like. You know, God is a sugar daddy. They only want to pray to God when they want something. That's the only person
to serve. So you semi-believe, I guess you believe, okay, and to a certain extent, that you need something, you're asking for it, and you give it to you, or you don't, then you say, well, shoot, it's not real.
It must not be real.
All right.
So I mean, but how do we get to is that something that can be turned around? Or it's just the signs of the time, as people say.
Well, people just not teaching the kids, okay, now like they used to back in the day, huh? They're not teaching them, okay. Like I was saying earlier, okay, you know, they're giving them a choice, okay? They can choose between religion and, what do they call it, organized religion,
I give my kids, okay. I give my kids, okay, and the choice, okay, between an organized religion, okay, or not. And most of the times, okay, and all, it's going to be the or not, because they can't really understand what it's all about, okay, because like I was saying earlier too, you know, you can't see that instant result. If you pray for something, okay, and all, that don't mean you're going to get it right now. You know, you're going to have to wait a while, probably. I mean, God moves at his own speed. And they might get the blessing, okay, and they'll even know it.
Right.
Because you were expecting that they're okay in another package. And when it did come, you didn't even recognize it.
Because you know, there's a scripture, and I'm not a preacher out there, that said, bring a child up in the way he should go, and when he was old, he would not depart from him. That's just like saying, hey, the child don't have a choice. You need to raise that child in the traditional, in the way that child should be raised. And, you know, that child
right.
don't have
and
a
then,
choice in that.
Right. And then, you know, when they're older, you know, whatever, and they choose, okay, to, you know, do other, then that's fine. You know, you did your part, okay? You taught them. And you instilled in them, okay? What was right and what was wrong. But I don't know. We're just not doing that. I don't think the younger generation up here are doing that with their kids. So many of them, okay, ended up on the wrong side of the law.
You attend churches, right? And I mean, you look around. How many young people you see anymore?
Not a lot.
In fact,
you go to church,
churches
okay,
have become so
old people.
In fact, churches have become so sophisticated now that they separate the children from the adults.
Yeah, that's right. They do that.
And I wonder if that's the best practice.
Well, I don't know. They didn't do it back in my day.
They didn't do it. Right. When I came along after you, they didn't do it.
I don't know, bro. I don't know the answer.
Chantal, what do you think? Children got their own little children church, while grown folks have grown folk church? What is it? Deidre, what do y'all think? That's the way it should go? Is that the best practice? Get some ladies' input.
Yeah, because they need to learn the Bible in kids format so that they can understand
mm-hmm.
what the scripture is saying. And then the adults, some of the adults still need the kid version because they don't understand all the time what is written in the book.
I agree. I mean, when I was growing up, we had children's church and we had youth church, but you know, I question what they really do in children's church these days. They give them more watered down version. It's more like a socializing thing. I see this happening. You know. With all these young people, they're not really learning much. They don't retain anything. It's just more like a place to go and hang out and not being bored.
To me, it's just me. It sounds like me. Children's church is more of a babysitting situation while parents listen to the pastor and do whatever they do it up in the main part of the church while the kids are down there doing their little thing, whatever. It's not like a babysitting thing. They're taking the kids out of the equation. Because I'm thinking back to when I came along as a child and was sitting in the same congregation as my parents and kids are older and a little bit younger than me and everything, and even the babies crying and stuff, at least we was all in the same place. And I think children was learning from adults on how they should compose or carry themselves. I think that was probably the best approach because only thing that does, when you separate the children from the adults, what are they really learning? Because it's more than just what's in the book. You also need to learn, you know, how the mannerism that you should, how you should carry yourself, shouldn't you?
But that's
well,
not
but I don't,
person.
I don't agree. I don't agree, Robert. I don't agree because I don't agree that children should be the same way. What I see is like a lot of churches don't do it well, but I think when it's done well, when you actually have children church where they actually teach the children what's supposed to be done, it's actually very, very effective. I've seen it done properly because what happens is a lot of things that we think, because you don't expect a child that's 7 years old to be they have, first of all, they have a short attention span. If you think about it from an educational perspective, because that's what it is, they're learning, and you got to be able to get to them the way that they learn best. So a seven-year-old like my son Andrew is not going to be able to be, you know, captivated and listen to a sermon. So it had to be broken down in bite sizes for him to get it in any way, whether they get it to music, they get it to actually sitting down and doing some exercises, but they break it down in portion that he can actually digest. We can actually take the whole thing, but they can't at the same time.
But that's my point. He's a child. He's a child, right? And it's not so much that the child learn how to preach. Understand what I'm saying? It's not so much the child learn scripture. That's not important at all. And in fact, it's not even important that a child understand scripture at that particular point, because you're raising the child up in the way he should go. In other words, you're teaching the child the traditions of your people, so that child would understand and continue those traditions even after that child becomes an adult. It's not so much you trying to teach the baby the scripture and he can walk around and quote scripture. It's not that I'm talking about. And I think because we have started to separate people, more division, even division within the church, I think that's playing a part in as to why this generation is not calling on Jesus, that why they're not. Jesus is not the answer anymore.
Well, I disagree. Because I think the reason why these young people are not following Jesus the way that we did is because we want to continue to force people to do things that they don't understand. And I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with saying that my son Andrew, I should just tell him, oh, you need to just, you know, worship Jesus because mommy said so, and you need to go. And they don't understand. Well, when he turns 15 or 16 or 17, he don't want to do it. It's boring. He doesn't understand it. He's not looking for a relationship with God.
But you're not
looking for his own personal
anyway,
faith.
Right?
What?
You're not supposed to worship Jesus anyway.
Robert, I'm trying to explain to you. You're saying that, we're supposed to just teach them the tradition. They don't need to understand. They need to understand. That's why young people now are moving away. They feel like people are forcing them to follow something that they don't even understand. If I don't understand it, I don't want to follow it. That's the mentality. The young people that I've talked to.
But I think what you said early on, Chantal, is really the culprit more than anything is. Parents are asking babies without the ability to make sound decisions to choose. Asking little babies that can't even talk, what you want, baby, what you want. So you got a child growing up with a want mentality rather than looking at the world through the prism of need. So you got a whole
You're talking about people asking people about children what they want about
asking
church?
Giving children choice about going to church. That what I mean.
Okay.
Giving them choice. Kids are saying, hey, baby, do you want to go to church? No, I don't want to go to church. You're giving them choice.
Wow.
A child,
in my assessment,
is not equipped to handle choice. Can't pay no bills. So why do you get choice?
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. The words say, teach your child the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. but I believe in the full entirety of what that means. I believe that, you know, you're responsible. You are responsible to teach that child which way they should go. And by that, I mean you should teach them what it means. They don't have a choice, because until you're grown, until you're an adult, I am responsible for you. I'm responsible to teach you which way to go. Exactly, but I'm responsible to teach you. Parents want children.
I get that. What I'm saying is, though, we that seem to be, again, we're living in a age, and it looks like generation after generation, you know, are no longer bringing their kids up in the way they should go. They're giving kids choice about whether or not they would adopt the traditions of their parents or their family. They're choosing not to go to church. Now, I didn't have that choice. The knowledge I have about how to carry myself, how to deal with other people, to take care of needs over wants, I learned that from being there amongst the adults in church, in the household. I learned it there. But we're not requiring our kids to go anymore. We ask our kids, do you want to go to church? And they say no. Or, you know, we're giving kids choice. So how are we bringing them up in the way they should go? Is that the way they should go? You know, to a world where they learn that all they got to do is just want something, that they will put their wants before their needs. That, I mean, isn't some of that responsible for the waste that we experience within our community, where we spend more money on stuff we don't need than anything else? We got more junk in our houses than we ever going to use, that instead of getting rid of the junk, we accumulate more junk. I mean, doesn't all this play into that whole scenario? I'm looking for everybody's feedback. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, Rob, I don't know anybody who asked the kids, y'all want to go to church. I don't know anybody like that. I just don't. Sorry. In children's church, I applaud the changes that I see. Because I think what used to happen is it was almost like that monotone professor where you just, you know, somebody's just talking at you. And, you know, pretty much, you know, almost like a damnation thing, you know. If you don't do right, you're not perfect, you're going to hell. And when I was growing up, you know, you had some churches that were similar to that, you know. And now I see in churches where you have people closer in age to those that they're teaching, and there's more active participation. And in a lot of churches, a lot of them, the kids don't want to miss church. They're learning not just from the book, but they're also learning real life lessons where, you know, some of their peers, you know, are going through things, and they bring it before them and they kind of talk about it. So I see those things as very positive. Now, the negative is in some of these mega churches, and I don't know if it's still going on, you had some of these young adult programs, because I do think that you need to segregate the different age groups. And you had some of these young, you know, the late teens, in with young adults, which I think is absolutely unacceptable. And you had things that, you know, were, you know, inappropriate taking place. So I think that you have a lot of children who love what's going on in their churches. And if not, perhaps the parents need to look at changing and moving.
Okay. Chantal, you were saying also? I think that's what I was saying?
Well, I was saying.
But you and Chantal basically saying the same thing, that, which, you know, I could see some of the benefits. I can remember when my kids was younger, and they did enjoy going to their version of church. And I think part of it was because they got to play. You know what I mean? They didn't have to sit in the congregation with adults. And so maybe they got to play with other people or hang out with people their own age. But I think there's still something that
here. Robert, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing that I know. I know for sure that's the key. And it's the same thing that I see from an educational perspective. I think a lot of the mistakes that are being made, a lot of the things that are going wrong, is because parents are waiting to send their children to church to teach their children about relationship, about the Almighty. I don't care about what religion or where you come from. You should not take your child somewhere so someone could teach them to have a relationship with the Creator. That starts at home. That's your responsibility. Church doesn't do anything but add on to what you already have. If you had nothing, you go in at 0 to 0, it's still a big fat zero. So a lot of the reason why children and young adults are leaving the church is because they didn't have the foundation to begin with. If you don't teach your children that there's a void, there's, you know, you were created, something bigger is out there, there's a Creator, and you have to have your own relationship with Him. Your mama can have it for you. Your daddy can have it for you. And you certainly don't go to church so church could put relationship with you. That starts with you. That's ground zero. You go there to share with other people that already have it so you can actually, that's what worship is. Getting together when you worship, you can do your own personal worship, but you magnify it when you go and meet other people. But it goes down to the part, do we really need to go to church? Because the Bible talks about, you know what church is, you are the church. You go together to amplify it, but really you start at home. This is your own church.
Yeah, but so you know, I don't want to get into that.
You're not getting. But my point is, Robert. My point is that the reason why these kids, you know, they're not anchored. They don't have the wrong foundation. You know, parents bring them to church. You think you're gonna bring your child to church one day a week out of seven, and they're gonna have a relationship with God? They can't have a relationship with God because you don't have a relationship with God. You don't meditate, and I'm not even talking about Christianity or whatever religion. I'm talking about a relationship with the Creator. If they've never seen you meditate and sit down and speak and get in touch with your spirit, you never taught them to do that, you expect them to go to church and have that. That's what's missing. The foundation is missing.
But we don't, even today, though, we don't tell our kids, bless your food before you eat it. You don't give thanks for what you eat before you eat
it. I do.
Bless it and give thanks.
I know.
I watch people just as soon as they open a bag or something, or as soon as they sit down at the table, they start shoving food in their mouth. Maybe they do a silent prayer. I don't know. But that used to be a common practice. People would bless the food before they ate it. So if they're not doing the simple things, surely you're not doing the complex things, right?
That's correct.
Because I hear more, I see where more people on Facebook, when they get upset with you, they'll stick karma on you more so than anything else. There's more faith in karma than it is in God. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Oh, man, karma going to get you. Karma is a beast. Oh, karma going to come back. Wait, karma going to come back. You're going to get you. Karma going to get you. Well, who is karma? Is that the new God? Because even the new generation, they speak more about karma than they do about Jesus Christ. So do we have a new religion? I mean, Deidre, you work with kids every day. What are they talking about? You're a school teacher. You work with them every day. What are they talking about? What are the kids talking about?
That new PS4, that Xbox Live, that 55-inch TV that they finna hook up to the Xbox.
No Jesus?
No. Unless you listen to God's Plan by Drake.
We need to hear from the preachers. Where are the preachers? Welcome to the Rob Legend Show. Hope you guys, if you just tuned in, your line is wide open. If you want to speak on the subject, you can. We're trying to understand this relationship that seemed to have dwindled between the new generation and a belief in the lessons that was taught by Jesus Christ. People the new generation don't seem to be calling out to Jesus anymore. They seem to have more faith in karma, and according to Deidre, more faith in video games and 65-inch TV screens and that kind of stuff than they do in Jesus. Has Jesus come and gone, and it's just too late? Is it over for Jesus? Do we have a new religion or what? What is this? Parents are not requiring the kids to go to church anymore. Kids are not asking about this stuff anymore. What is going on? Has Jesus lost Jesus' position in the world? Is Jesus no longer the answer for the world today? That's the question on the table. Is Jesus no longer the answer for the world today? That is the question on the table. What do y'all think? Can y'all still hear me? Hello? Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, because, when you get quiet like that, I don't know.
Well, I'm just puzzled because you talked about kids playing video games. Can they not play video games and still believe in God and still, you know, have a relationship with God? I'm a little puzzled by, what you're suggesting.
I think,
Linda,
I think what Deidre was basically saying is that they're so busy doing those things that the idea or the thought of Jesus is not even crossing their mind. If that's what you're saying,
yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not they believe or don't believe. It's just not
But at the same time, Robert, these games are taking over. These games are becoming these children's God, though.
Yeah.
Just like money, certain material things are becoming the God in a lot of people's lives. These games are becoming like a cell phone. If a parent doesn't really is not careful, a cell phone could become a God in a child's life, in a teenager's life. I, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of teenagers where their phone is their God. So, even the Bible talks about, making something your God. A lot of material things can become your God if you lose focus. So, I don't know what DJ was talking about, but I believe in a lot of situation on what we see happening, a lot of these games are becoming these children God. They don't sleep. There's even some grown people. They don't sleep. They don't eat. They go days on playing those video games. That's your God. Whoever you focus on and do all your attention and do, that's your God. Your money can be your God. Your job can be your God.
Linda?
Yeah?
You have a teenage daughter? Does she even mention the faith at all, or you know, you raised her that what being? I mean, I'm just trying to get an assessment for that generation.
Yes, she does.
So she has a relationship.
I sometimes question her relationship. And it was interesting because I had a conversation with my neighbor, and my neighbor talked about, you know, her as well, her youngest, you know, questioning whether or not he has a relationship with God. And, you know, on the outside looking in, that generation, they're a little hard to, you know, figure out. So the best you can do is continue to talk, continue to expose them, you know, to the, you know, right people. You're taking them into church, their friends, they're around and stuff like that, talking to them, you know, every now and again. I'm in that room, you know, just laying hands over her and praying over her, you know. And I mm-hmm. know that take her a little bit longer, but I do at least see, you know, some light on there. And, yes, I do agree that a lot of these kids, you know, those phones can be a god. Because nowadays you go into a church, you can see no Bible. That Bible's on that phone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Everything at your fingertips now.
So, yeah, so, you know, I see it. But I think it's, once again, just very important that if you don't see your kid being fed, and also, you know, the people my daughter, you know, is around, you know, most of these, you know, the longest term friendships, you know, came out of, you know, kids who were also in a parochial school. So, you know, at some point they take over, you expose them, you talk to them, you have to, the best you can, keep them fed spiritually. But at, you know, her age now, it's up to her.
Right. Yeah, I think when a child reached that age of majority, and that's when that verse really kicks into play, whether or not you brought them up to observe those things, that relationship, to establish a relationship with, you know, establish that godly relationship. And that's what I'm questioning more so than anything else. Are we still raising our kids to observe and to establish a faith relationship? Or are we giving them the choice of not doing so now? I mean, because, you know, we do tend to ask our kids at very young ages, what do you want? Do you want this? Do you want this? Asking these kids to make decisions they're really not equipped to make. I mean, my parents didn't ask me if I wanted anything. My parents didn't ask me if I wanted anything. You know, the fact, you know, when my mama fixed our plates, she didn't say, "Rob, you want some greens on your plate? Or you want some cornbread on your plate? Or you want some chicken on your plate?" Dude, whatever she fixed on your plate, that's what you got, and you better eat it.
Well, absolutely. The old fashioned.
Yeah, when I moved to Georgia years ago, you know, my ex, his family up in North Georgia, it was kind of funny when we would go to their church on Sundays. The mothers would come in with to church with the little ones. They had no Sunday school, no separate things, so them kids were sitting right in the pew with the parents. And it was hilarious because the mama would have, like, her Bible, and she might have a switch in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she came in with. And it wasn't just one, it was quite a few. I'm like, wow. You know, so for me that was very strange because I came from urban America. And I absolutely wasn't used to that because, you know, it's a much bigger church in a much bigger town.
Right.
But we definitely had Sunday. And we also had Wednesday religious, you know, religious instruction where you left school early and you would go to religious instruction.
Definitely don't do the choice thing. I don't do that. It's just, I think we just, again, you know, our people of color, we've adopted other people's tradition and apply it to ourselves. And I don't think in all many cases that it works to our best advantage. We mimic other people and their lifestyle, and we wonder why we are the way that we are. You know, I always say, I say a lot of times, like, you know, a six-year-old doesn't know what they should be eating. Even a 10 or 11
right.
or 12-year-old, I'm not asking my son Andrew, even now he knows really well what he should eat. But I'm not asking him, what do you want to eat? I cook because I know about nutrition. I know what he should eat. I cook, and he eats it good. If he doesn't, you go to bed. Drink some water, go to bed. He's done that a couple of times this week. Oh, you don't want to eat? Okay, I'll put it in the refrigerator. You eat it for breakfast. Oh, well, you're going to keep eating. You're going to keep having it till you eat it. I'm not throwing it away. That's what I cook. I'm not cooking three different dishes for you so you could eat, so you can go and put your wife through that mess. I'm not doing that. So maybe I'm not living in the 21st century, but, hey, that's the way it works at my house. Choices, we are too democratic. We give too many choices. What do you want to wear today? And you have these little girls that are wearing, you know, all their stomach out, their butts out. They're dressing like grown women. Because their mother go and, you know, let them know what do you want to wear. You want to pick this dress? You pick. I didn't have that choice. My mom used to go get me clothes to wear. I didn't go and pick clothes to wear. Too many choices get people confused.
Well, children anyway, they're not equipped to make those decisions. They're just not equipped to do that. And we asking these kids to make grown-up decisions for us. I guess we don't want to, and then when they get to teenage years and start to exercise their independence and choice, then we start telling them, oh, no, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. And like, wait a minute. But you told, since I was 1 month, 1 day old, you've been asking me what I want. Now that I'm exercising my want, and which is, Mama, I know I'm 14 years old, and I know he's 17, but I want him. But you're telling her, no, you can't have him. But you say I can have what I want. Come on, Mama. Come on.
I think just because you ask somebody about a choice, that doesn't mean that it's across the board. I've probably told my children from, very early ages that, you got a lane that you need to stay in. Your lane's the kid lane. Mine's just the adult lane. You know, me, my husband, the adult lane. And I don't, handle kids coming into my lane too well.
Amen.
But here's the thing that a lot of people forget. Now, as the adult, you set the pace and you set the standards. Now, I believe in, if you, at a certain point, you give your children choices. You give them choices. But the choices really are not choices. You're giving them choices between things. You don't just say, oh, get what you want. I'm telling you, okay, I'm cooking this or that. Which one do you want? Both of them are my choices. Really, you're not having a choice. I'm just teaching you that in life you have choices and you need to make the right choices. But you need to basically train your children. It's like somebody says to a child, what do you want to eat? Without being putting some restraint on what they should eat, they don't know. They could say, I want some hot dogs. They could say they want hot dogs every day or they want burgers every day. Are you going to give them burgers every day? No,
there are parents that give them kids, that kids, I want cereals, they eat cornflakes every day. There are kids that eat at McDonald's every day, eat at Chick-fil-A every day.
That is sad.
Every day. There are kids that have not had a home-cooked meal in forever and a day. And adults, and some adults also.
That is just sad.
But you know what, Rob? I think that if somebody does do something like that, I don't think that's the optimum choice. I'm thinking that because we've become a society, we're so darn portable, you know, kids in 100 festivities, and, you know, they leave school, you know, go to some activity, another activity, and by the time it's time for them to get home, nobody, you know, it's no time to, you know, feed them. I don't think that's a good choice. I think that might be somebody who, you know, you're stretching yourself too thin, and not to mention, that's just pure garbage, you know?
Yeah.
Linda, Linda, you might be surprised. You might be surprised on how many people, the percentage of people now that get home and tell their children every night, what you guys want to eat tonight? You'll be surprised on what's happening. Mm. You know, I know in my experience it's not happening, but there's a high percentage of these things happening every single day. Every single day.
It's not
the exception. It's almost the norm, unfortunately. And I'm just saying that based on experience, based on a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of mothers, because of their way of life, based on the fact that they would rather just go and get something from KFC instead of cooking something, because, hey, that means me sacrificing watching my hour of TV, and I'm tired. I want to just watch TV and put my feet up. So I'll go get KFC. So we eat out 5 days a week or 6 days a week, and especially the women that think they can afford it, or the families that think, you know, they can afford it, and they're spending a whopping amount of money eating out junk and killing themselves and not even realizing it and teaching the wrong habits to their children.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh, yeah. I come home, you know, for years, there's a plan. There's a plan. It may not be a total plan at the start of the week, but I promise you, by the day of, there's a plan as to what's going to be for dinner, you know?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I go for the balance, you know? I'm definitely not trying to spoon up garbage.
So is Jesus the answer for today, for the new generation? Kathy, how are you doing this evening with them beautiful granddaughters? Kathy must be still cooking or something. She's not talking to me. But anyway, I'm just curious, though, with the grandkids and the kids today.
Who is cooking?
Kathy is probably cooking.
Oh, gosh, she's cooking.
But anyway, with the all the stuff that's going on, Linda made a valid point, Chantal, Deidre, all you guys made valid points that we're living in a society now where things are 100 times faster than it was 10 years ago. You know, and probably in the next cycle, the kids of the kids here today, their parents is probably going to be just as perplexed that their kids are moving at 200 times the speed that they're running at. You know, so, but it looks like, and I'm not afraid of this happening, but it looks like, because when you go to a lot of the big churches, go to a lot of churches and everything, you don't see children. You don't see many children. You see a bunch of old people. And from my experience, what I know about a church, when you don't see pregnant women and babies and stuff like that, that's a church on the decline. That's a church that's dying, because you got to have new faith, new people, brand new people growing up in that faith in order for that faith to survive. I mean, that makes sense.
And the faith has to grow, and the faith has to grow by that new generation, you know, that comes in. A lot of pastors, you know, will say, you know, hey, happy couples make babies, you know. And if they're not coming to the church, then that means that the pastor, you're missing an entire generation that, you know, that you need to feed. And they need to feed you as well, because some of these pastors are stuck in a time warp.
Yeah. Children are not being invited to participate. I remember going to church as a child, and we participated in what was going on in the church with the adults looking at us and everything and working with us and helping us out. When they asked us to sing or to pray or to just sometimes just be still or shut up and stop twitching and wake up. But we still, I understand most of the, a lot of people ideal about separating the children from the adults and having children church and all that kind of stuff. I get that, okay? But I wonder though, I want to go back there just for a second. I wonder if the children are missing something by not being there with their parents to get that direction from their parents that, you know, my generation got, you know, that switch, that and that stand still or hold still or that direction that parents will give you when you're in the presence of people who are trying to worship and pray and praise together. I mean, do you really get that when you're separated from the adults? Do you really get that when you don't see the example happening before you as a child watching your parent, how they react and how they carry themselves amongst other people that are also so in that same faith? So I'm considering
here. So an hour and a half, 2 hours you might spend in church, I'm sorry, that's a small portion of the time that your kids would spend with you. So the idea that you might be in church acting a certain way and then you go home, and what is that suggesting? That you just buckety wild? You know, I think that we all need to be fed and not necessarily the same way. You know, in regular church, my pastor, you know, sometimes call his Saturday evening service Saturday night, what does he call it? Saturday night raw. Because he said that sometimes things are coming out and he has time to look at it before Sunday and, that was a little rough, and, you know, kind of, you know, smooth it out. But he's not necessarily preaching to children.
Right.
He may be
reaching,
you know, his broad audience, which are adults, young adults. In fact, young adults in some of these churches have, you know, their own thing going on. Yes, they'll be in that regular service, but they may also have a separate service because they have challenges that are specific to them.
Yeah. I can remember one situation, though, when Little Rob, you know, he's a 10A, a church where the kids were separated from the adults is where they had a little children church or whatever. And I remember there's a couple of times little kids, you know, having their own little identifying with other little kids, little Rob getting in trouble because he was caught with this little girl, a little Caucasian girl, showing their little body parts to each other. Right. So and I'm pretty sure if he was in the congregation with his parents, and she was in the congregation with her with the parents, then they wouldn't be have the opportunity to show their little body parts to each other. Now, of course, they came down on him as a bad kid, but it was actually, according to Little Rob, he was only 4 or 5 years old. He said that she showed herself to him and asked him to show him what he had.
How old were they?
I think it was 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, and I'm thinking that this person is clueless what they're doing, but what I do question, I don't even consider that sexual, but what I do question, where was the supervision? That
right. And they're supposed to have a child church minister or something like that supposed to be met there with a couple of adults that was in that little class with them or whatever. But they still found the opportunity as little kids to get together and do what little kids do. They'd be curious. She wanted to, hey, this is what I got down here. Let me see what you got down there. But, of course, they caught them when he was showing his. Not when she was showing her. I mean, boys can't win. But like my point is, I don't think that would have happened if the two kids was in the congregation with the parents, being made to being instructed to behave or carry themselves in such a way that is respectful.
It was sit down and shut up. That's what it was, and that doesn't change. It's sit down and shut up. Kids not being fed. Kids, they are bored and ultimately may go to sleep.
Right. Okay.
Now, I do know that, in some churches, throughout the year, they may have points in time where, the children will run the church, and that's where you have a mixed congregation and it's them. It's like the parents then get to, be in the church with them, and you see how they roll with their service.
Right.
I rather enjoy it. I've been to several churches, on Children's Day, and I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing, how they roll, and, because they're thinking it's all about them, and they're just enjoying it. And I don't know, I just appreciate it. I just think that we need to be fed differently. We come together as a family, but we're a family every day, all day.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm teetering on the fence with this one, because I can see the benefit from both sides. I think the generational instructions there with sometimes mother, father, older sibling in some cases, and also grandparents and others and aunts and uncles there also, that it's a community there watching you and giving you instructions and showing you how to carry yourself. Where when you're separated from that, you only have that group, and you're only getting that perspective, and you don't have that community instruction. You understand what I'm saying?
I just think that doesn't stop because somebody goes this way for Sunday school and the other person goes the other way. I still think those things remain. And I think the instruction and how you act and all of that, I think you get that every day. You get that every day and you get it all day. That's why, people joke and we say things like, my mother gave me the look.
Then what's the breakdown then? Then why are we where we are, where we got generations now that does not even, they don't have anything to do with church?
It's probably based on, their, in some cases, once a kid reaches majority, it then becomes their choice. And you do have a fair amount of kids go off to college, and they're not necessarily, participating. They'll do it when they come home, but they may not be doing it wherever they are going to school.
Mm.
Now, in other cases, but look at the breakdown in society, period, where little boys, everybody wants to be a baller, and little girls, for some reason, they're impressed with these strippers and looking like strippers and wanting to take off their clothes or show their naked body parts like a Kardashian. It's our society.
Well, when the kids I'm repeating myself, but when the kids get of maturity, they go to college. If they did not have their own personal relationship with God and they were just doing it because mommy and daddy, it was on them, they were riding on mommy and daddy's stuff, then they have nothing to go on. Then that's when they go on their own journey instead of them starting early, which was what the parents were supposed to do, is help them start their journey and say, hey, your relationship with God is your own relationship. I can pray for you, but whatever I pray for you, it's not going to be as effective as if you pray for yourself. It just irks me. People always talk about, oh, pray for me, pray for me. How about pray for yourself? Your prayer is more powerful for you than asking 10,000 people. You know, there's power in number. That's true. But we got to teach these kids that they need to have their own relationship, because your own relationship, that's what sets everything apart. No matter how far you are away, even if you go on the other side of the universe, you have your own relationship. Then you grounded. Otherwise, that's it.
Yeah. That is interesting. That is very interesting. We're coming to the close of another show, guys. I do want to apologize once again because I'm having to do the show from a different source again, because the first part of the show was all about all of these rules and all of these laws that Donald Trump has rolled back that was put in place by the previous administration. I was reading all those things off, and all of a sudden, you guys can no longer hear me, but I can hear you guys. So I'm starting to wonder, and like I said, I don't want to start a conspiracy theory, but you know, there's something really ironic that my system, which works fine, tend to want to go down when I start talking about what's going on with the current administration. So, like I said before, I refuse to allow somebody to deny me what I want to do, because I want to do what I want to do, and talk about the president is something I want to talk about. But I want to make sure I leave on this note. We've got to stop being distracted by all this, the side shows he got going on, and start paying close attention to what he's doing with his ink signing, his signing hand, what he's signing all these bills and laws and passing stuff and putting people in place of positions so that it would eventually hurt us and everything. That's what I'm talking about. But anyway, this is your host, Rob Legend, telling you guys thank you. The conversation about the relationship with God, the relationship with Jesus, I think it's an important conversation to have. I hope we can continue the conversation in some form or some fashion. If you got any topics that you want to discuss on the Rob Legend Show, be sure to share those with me. I would love to talk about them. Email them to me, text them to me, however, get it to me and everything, and we would definitely talk about it on the Rob Legend Show. This is your host telling you guys, take care of yourself. It's a great Wednesday, just like any other Wednesday, and make sure you wake up bright and happy tomorrow morning and take life by the horn, okay? Good night.